Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. And good evening, Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
Yes, and blessings from here. And I know we've got an exciting program on tonight, so I won't take any time. I'll just I'll let you guys know when your callers call in, and looking forward to it.
All right, thank you, sir. And we do welcome everybody for joining us this Wednesday evening to Hope is Alive. What is Hope? What is Hope is Alive? It's a show about testimony. And that testimony is those who have been set free. The captives have been set free from evil spirits, from bondage, from addiction, from sicknesses, just all around oppression of the enemy. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. It's a great website there set up for you to use. Self-deliverance, testimony, prayers, everything you need to know about just about everything we talk about on this program each week is there at the click of a mouse. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book, and he'll certainly get it out to you. It's a great manual, step-by-step process through there on how to cast out evil spirits with yourself and with others, and just a good overall tool to have in your library, and it's just very well done. I'm just glad that the Lord put it on Pastor Cox to write that book. It definitely changed my life. Pastor, how are you doing this evening?
I am blessed, Ralph, and I've heard that about you.
That's the rumor, isn't it?
I know that's the truth.
That is the truth. It is, because when we're in Jesus, we can say with certainty, I am blessed. And I just say praise the Lord on that. Well, Pastor, here we are. It just seems like another week flew by. I don't know where the time goes sometimes. And here we are for Wednesday night. And I'm looking forward to hearing about this Monday, and the testimony's coming on. It looks like there's going to be a good one.
Yes, well, I was thinking that earlier today. It seems like we just did this yesterday. How'd the week go so fast? Well, we had a good Monday evening. We just did 8 cases, but my goodness, the training room and the deliverance minister's room upstairs was just jammed with people.
Well, good.
So we sure have lots of people going through training. And I guess the Lord's getting us ready for something. An attack of cases is going to be hitting the people all around us, and they're going to be looking for relief. Something like that. So anyway, we're ready, and we got lots of ministers, and we had extra ministers, of course, with just 8 cases. And it's a shame to waste them, you know, with all the training they've been through and knowing how to set people from all kinds of problems, as you mentioned, like fear and anger or violent problems and rage. And I was just listening on the news earlier about a husband that had actually beat his wife to death while the children were there. And I was thinking, well, there's another spirit of violence, anger, rage that we run into all the time. It's too bad he never got deliverance. Those demons are manifesting in people everywhere. And here we are trying to get the word out that there are answers for those kinds of problems, depression, anxiety, all those things like that. And that's what drives us on, though. The reports and the testimonies we have lined up tonight are certainly exciting. And the first one up had quite a head demon experience where the minister, who was Frank Thomas, ministered to him. And in fact, he's going to be on the Sunday night show telling that about it. And so the man who he ministered to will be on this evening. Very spectacular. The next testimony also especially exciting. I happened to minister to her just last Monday. And while I could not get the head demon up, which only happens about 1 out of 3, due to their sensitivities, etc., it was quite a spectacular, a basic deliverance where I worked her list. She had marked certainly as many on the list, and with her yawns and coughs, and we actually had to use a wastebasket at one point for some mucus coming out. Not just a little bit, not a whole lot, because you can take authority over that, which I did, and she was needing a wastebasket. They had, I think, 5 or 6 trainees and a minister setting in. Linda Yancey was in on that and observing and watched that happen. And it was just a wonderful deliverance. She got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and she had just gotten born again about a week before or 2 weeks. So pretty exciting case. She'll be telling it. And what was particularly exciting was she, and I believe she'll tell it tonight, how she had an experience with Jesus where her dad, just like the case I just mentioned, where the man beat the wife, well, in this case, the father beat the child due to some problem, but I think even broke some bones. And she was on the second floor, and next thing she knew, she was looking out the window and saw this man below motioning to come. Next thing she knows, she's walking with him. She don't even know how she got down there, and it was a long ways to walk. And the security cameras later showed her where she walked to. Of course, it was Jesus, and he talked to her as they walked along, and he held her hand. And finally, where she wound up was like a 7-Eleven or service, a convenience store, and they had cameras there, which they later looked at, and it showed her hand in the air, but no one with her. And it was going to be exciting to hear her story of it. So praise God for the supernatural around us all the time. Hi, Vic.
Yes.
Hi, Ralph.
That's just awesome to hear. It reminds me of an old message of Pastor Peter's when he was first really starting to introduce us and teach us more about the spiritual nature of and warfare in the Bible. And he talks about a woman who was, I think she was a nurse. She was walking through a parking garage. And as she was walking, she seen this man. And the man was just staring at her the whole time. And when she got home, she saw on the news that there was a serial rapist at large. And the description and composite of it, she knew who that man was. She realized that was the man she saw. She called the police. They were able to arrest him. And as she picked him out in the lineup and showed witness everything, she at some point she'd asked, she said, well, how come you didn't choose me as a victim? How come you didn't try to rape me? And he said, well, those two guys were walking beside you.
I love it. Angels, no doubt.
Yes, probably no doubt on big. That. And I don't know if you remember this or not. I thought about that myself as it was about a year back or so. There was a rash of break-ins in my neighborhood, and this is, I got two homes, the home I'm not at all the time, and a lot of the homes were broken into, but mine wasn't touched. And I don't remember if you remember telling me this, but I gave a lot of thanks to the Lord because I do call down angels of assignment to surround and protect my home. But I remember telling you, and you said, well, they probably saw the angels, and that's why they didn't go into your home.
Well,
so, you never know what people see, and you sometimes wonder why they picked this place, they didn't pick that. And it could be as simple as that. Angel or seeing the protection of the Lord. And who knows? I mean, the way I look at it, the Lord could make the person seem like there's somebody home at the time, and that's why they didn't go there. So, it is a neat thing.
Hebrews 1:14, Ralph, reads that God's ministering spirits, the angels, are to be of service to the heirs of salvation. And of course, mm-hmm. that's us. So, they're of service. They help us in all kinds of ways and protect us, etc. We
yes.
call on them a lot, of course, at deliverance ministries. And the demons, when they're manifesting, they can see the angels circled around in the room with their swords drawn. Intimidates them right off.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I say put them on assignment, because I started realizing that everything Satan does is a counterfeit of the Lord Jesus
yes.
Christ. And if he can
right.
put demons on assignment, then we can put angels on assignment.
Absolutely.
So I'll put them on assignment to protect or guard, watch over, to help me. Definitely had them on assignment to help us with deliverances before. So it's definitely a weapon that Christians have to use in spiritual warfare that I really didn't understand until, you know, I met y'all at Deliverance Ministries, because I always asked God to do it. And we don't need to
yes.
ask God to do it, because he says, no, I put them there for you to help you.
That's right.
You
they're around
and,
us
I mean,
waiting. They're waiting for an assignment. And if only
yes.
more in the Christian body realize they're there around all the Christians if they'll just use them.
Yes. And, you know, we're told in Scripture, don't you know that you will judge angels? So one day we will judge them. And if we're judging them, how much, you know, if we got that type of authority, then we have authority to send them out and do things for us to help with the kingdom. You know, obviously you can't say, well, angel, go make me a sandwich. But you can definitely mm-hmm. say, angels, I'm putting you on assignment to subdue that demonic spirits as we bring these, call them up and to cast them out to the feet of Jesus. And we're commanding you to take them to the feet of Jesus when they come out and to help clean up afterwards. And, you know, we've heard plenty of testimonies. I remember the testimony of you telling the man kept leaving. He'd tell the angels to come bring him back, and he'd come walking in. Somebody was carrying him on each arm. And I've heard testimonies where they've told people the angels to sit on the person because they wouldn't get up. And it's just neat to think, and actually humbling to think, that we have that type of power and authority. Well, Pastor, we have our first caller. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Hello, this is Glenn. How are you?
Hi,
fantastic.
Glenn.
Thanks for joining us.
Glenn, that's Ralph up in the Branson area, and I'm so glad you called in tonight. Why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and, you know, what was going on in your life and changes you've seen and so forth.
Okay, sounds good. Well, thanks for asking me to come on. My name is Glenn, and I'm 38 years old, and I pretty much was kind of raised in a Christian church. My dad always took us to Bethany Church of God in Bethany, Oklahoma, and I would probably say that I gave my life to God when I was a young child. I would say probably around 8 or 9 years old, I decided to that Jesus was the Lord of my life, and I kind of went from there. And like I said, I kind of grew up in church. I went to church with my family, and we, you know, would always go every Sunday. I would get involved with things like the the music choir, and we would have go up there and do music programs and things like that. And so that's kind of like my early background. And later on in my life, I just kind of did the normal things, went to high school, went to college. Probably when I started going to college and right out of high school, I would say probably that's when I kind of didn't really, I don't know, maybe not follow the Lord as well as I should have been, and I kind of veered off into some other things like, you know, partying and, hanging out with probably a little bit of the wrong crowd, and kind of got involved in things like heavy marijuana use and, a lot of heavy drinking, binge drinking and things like that. I basically, I was working, I've had multiple jobs throughout my life. So I know some people can say that they've had one job or a specific career that they went to, but, I've gone through many, many jobs, probably a countless amount of jobs, growing up and throughout my life. And, here recently I've been, I was living in Colorado actually for about 7 years and moved back to Oklahoma just 2 years ago. Unfortunately, my dad had passed away a year ago. It's one of the reasons why I moved back to Oklahoma was because he was getting very ill with his disease, and he suffered from a disease called myelodysplasia and like a blood cancer. And fortunately, he did pass away from that, but, since then, I've just been, I was led to deliverance, and many really cool things happened, and so, kind of here I am.
Wow, praise God. Well, what was your deliverance like, Glenn? Can you share some of that, and anything that comes
from that? Yeah, I feel like God was really pressuring, maybe not pressuring, but God was really calling me to deliverance for some reason, because of I've felt like a lot of weight on my shoulders and kind of a lot of inner turmoil about what God really wants to do with my life. I always felt like I was the kind of person that God was going to be doing something really good in my life, but I've never really like given my whole life up to God in the way that He wanted me to. And so I went to deliverance last Monday because I felt God called me to that, and I met up with one of the ministers there. His name was Frank Thomas, and he basically took me through step by step what I've heard that the ministers kind of go through, which is of course I went through the door closing prayer with Everett, and then went up with Frank, and he kind of told me, he asked me, about like my past and what kind of, relationships I had, my relationship with my mom and dad, and explain about the soul ties that I could have had with them and what I could have had that with other relationships that I had in the past. And he basically, you know, just went through the ministry process with me. And when he was asking me about remembering about traumas, it was strange for me because God really showed me a lot of traumas that I hadn't really even thought of in a long time. They were things that I kind of had not really even talked to anybody about in many years, but for some reason God brought those to my memory, and I feel like I really hit a lot of the things that were really weighing me down as far as traumas in my past when, you know, like there's been several of them where, I mean, especially one that I didn't remember, even think to remember, but I was in a big car wreck when I was 16, and that really shook me up, and I had been through some bullying traumas growing up and things like that, and I talked to him about some of the relationships that I had and things like that. And so basically when we got to the getting closer to the ministry, where we were going through after we went through the soul ties and things like that, and we were, you know, basically calling up any of the things that I had marked down on the list that were giving me problems. And when we got to that stage, I started feeling, you know, just, I don't know, I was kind of feeling a little bit lightheaded, and then all of a sudden I just kind of started breaking out into laughter when he was saying for those spirits to go. And so I just kind of started laughing, and then all of a sudden, you know, an evil spirit basically kind of, you know, started taking the place for me and started talking for me. And, you know, I was definitely fully coherent of what was going on, but I guess that spirit was talking through me and was saying things to Frank like we don't want to go, you can't tell us to go, and things like that. You know, one of the main spirits that was saying that thing was called anger. I guess there was an anger spirit in me, and he was able to get that to go. And then and there were also spirits of infirmity, which were definitely something that was causing issues in my life, because I've been having a lot of issues with you know, sick, like gastrointestinal problems, and you know, headaches and like ringing in my ears, and different things like that. Gas or acid reflux and things like that, and I had those on my list. So I thought that was interesting that infirmity had come up and started, and I felt like my voice was like changing throughout this whole process, like I was making different voices and things like that, and I felt like, and I know that it wasn't me saying those things, that it must have been evil spirits that were saying it, but it was pretty amazing because I'd never really felt like anything like that before. And I guess he had pulled up a head demon in my life that was, the name of it was Snake, and it had been tormenting me through a generational curse in my life that it had said that it had been in my life, or had been in my family bloodline for about 455 years, apparently. And so, he asked him questions about what my gifts and what my lies he had told me, and he had said that I'm a very powerful person in Christ, and that I'm a prayer warrior, and that Jesus is my best friend in his or my life, and that he's been hindering my ministry since I was 3 years old, basically, is what it said. And so basically that torment, that thing has been following me in my life for most of my life. And, you know, I had no idea. I never really thought that it would have gone back that far, but apparently it has. And, I just praise God that I was able to be free of it, you know, because I definitely, once it was over, I felt a huge weight off my shoulders. My body actually felt like it had kind of been, you know, I'd run kind of a marathon that night a little bit in a mental sense, not a physical sense, but It was very like wearing on me in my mind, and for the next week even, you know, my body I felt like was in kind of like a recovery mode from after those spirits being delivered. But I praise God every day, and it's made me a stronger child of God, and it's made me I'm just thankful that you know, God was able to finally deliver me, because I know that it was something that I've been wanting for a long time. And you know, I really feel that it was God that delivered me, and he's been telling me that he's got a lot of plans for me, that you know, that I have a lot of work to do, and that I should be involved in not only deliverance ministries, but other ministries, including I'm going to be getting involved in the music ministry, and talking to people that are really struggling with mental illness, and people that are struggling in their family lives and things like that. And it's been really opening my eyes to people that need help that I wasn't helping before. You know, I actually just the other day I met a coworker at my job who was feeling, you know, not too great, and she wanted to leave and go to the doctor. And I met her in the parking lot, and I told her that I wanted to pray for her, and she said, okay, yeah. And I felt like God led me through a healing prayer, and I feel like, you know, she was mentally healed of some of her stresses, and she told me that her mind is feeling a lot better now after I prayed for her. And so I give it all up to God. I don't take any credit for anything myself, because God and Jesus are the ones that did that for me, and they're providing that for me. And it just kind of goes up from there for me, and I feel like God's got a lot of plans, and I'm just going to follow him full force. And I'm rejecting temptation in my life. I'm giving up on any kinds of sin, and I'm just focusing on God and reading my word, and seeing where God's going to lead me. So.
That's so awesome, Glenn. And I got a question for you. When Frank was working with Snake and those other demons, did he need to use the angels any?
Yes, he did. He did ask for the angels' help. And so when the spirit was talking, he said that there was 10 angels in front of me. And I feel like that, when I was going through that I saw like a hint of like silhouettes of angels that kind of had surrounded me in a semicircle, like, you know, just kind of lined up, curved all around me. And I actually did have a vision of an angel when that happened. I had a vision of an angel that was very tall. Like, he looked like he was about 9 or 10 feet tall, and he had a long white robe, and he had, you know, like shoulder armor, and he had like a face covering armor, and he had really beautiful long curly hair. I do remember that. And he had a very sharp, shining sword. And it was a vision that I guess God had given me to show me how powerful one of his angels are. And I still have that image in my head, and it has never gone away, and I don't think it ever will. But I thought that was pretty amazing. That, I mean, it proves to me what God's army looks like. And he wants me to help, you know, do battle against the enemy. And I think that's why he showed me that. So,
Glenn, minister Frank, did he have to use the warring angels to discipline, use their swords on the demons?
I'm sorry, what was that? I didn't quite hear that.
Did your minister Frank, did he have to call on the warring angels to jab those demons any if they were giving you problems?
Yes, he did, actually. He told them to jab the spirits, and those spirits weren't happy at all from that, I could tell. And I actually felt them. I felt them kind of jerk back a little bit when he was telling those angels to strike those spirits. And I actually also felt, whenever I was going through deliverance, I heard the shofar sound in the background, and I could feel the angels, the spirits didn't like that sound either. Like, it made the spirits flinched too. It was pretty strange because I really felt I could hear what they were saying. It was almost like I would describe it as, you know, we're both in the same vehicle, but those spirits were at that time in the driver's seat, and I was more like in the back seat, kind of taking, seeing what that spirit was kind of doing. He was kind of controlling my movements, and I could feel them kind of, you know, moving my arms in strange ways that I don't typically move in. And one of the, and that head demon spirit was like crying and made me cry, but I wasn't crying myself, but I know that spirit was crying because of the fact that he was probably about to get sent, you know, back to the feet of Jesus, and Jesus was going to, you know, send him to where he needed to go, and he didn't want that. So I thought it was pretty interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, praise God. And then did Frank have the demon give you the top 10 lies it was telling you?
Yes, he did do that. He had told me that he was tormenting me with things like, you know, he said that he had lied to me about me not belonging here, and had been giving me thoughts of, like, suicidal thoughts even at some times, and he had lied to me about not belonging, and about, you know, even things like confusion about sexual orientation and things like that. That's what he said that those top three lies were basically, you know, confusing my mind and making me feel that I didn't belong and giving me thoughts, which I have had thoughts, actually. I mean, not serious suicidal thoughts, but, you know, sometimes I'd have, like, you know, funny thoughts of suicide and, you know, things that were just kind of more of like a joke. But, you know, that suicide is something that should never be joked about. So I've come to realize that, you know, now, and I think that it was those tormenting spirits that were, you know, having me say those things. So I thank Jesus that he set me free from that for good. So
yeah, when the demons were cast out, all went those problem areas. And, you know, Glenn, just think about how many people around us, Christians, have got those same kind of problems going on, got those same kind of lies coming into their head. It's all over. We find most people would have about 36 minimum spirits by the time the ministry is over, you know, that are cast out. And some people buy the lies and commit suicide and so on. All that's going on around us, and very few Christians have an understanding of it. Of course, that's why we're on the radio tonight, telling it, of course, to encourage others and that they'll reach out. Well, we're just about out of time in the last minute. Glenn, what would you say to the listeners before we wind up?
Basically, I would just say, you know, that we live in a physical world, but there is definitely a very strong spiritual world out there that we can't see, that God has kind of veiled our eyes of. And, you know, the enemy doesn't like Christians and what they're doing, basically. He wants to do whatever it takes to bring Christians down. So I feel like we should all, as Christians, we really need to be there for each other, and we need to lift each other up. And I would say, you know, if you or anybody you know as a Christian has a situation where they feel like they do need deliverance of some kind, and I really feel in my heart that it's not up to anybody to bring someone to deliverance. It's what God does. And he'll bring you to deliverance if that's what you really want in your heart. And that's what happened to me. And I feel like if someone's having those problems where they need deliverance, they should definitely pray about it and come to the ministry service. And yes, I think it could change your life like it changed mine.
Amen. They're common problems. Well, thank you so much, Glenn. That was a fantastic, awesome testimony. God bless you, brother.
Bye. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Everett. Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate you letting me on, and you guys have a wonderful night.
You too.
Bye.
Well, he really was sensitive to the things.
Yes.
During his deliverance, that was pretty neat to see and hear. But, you know, he's right about that. You know, suicide at Joe could be a spirit because that is definitely a spirit of suicide. It's upon people. They hear voices. They'll tell them and convince them that they're better off dead. So if you ever do come across someone who has a spirit of suicide or even talk about it, you know, one of the things you can do is to exercise your authority and bind that spirit of suicide, command it to be quiet, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak truth to him. Well, Pastor, we have our next caller. Thank you for joining us this evening on Hope is Alive.
Hello.
Lazara, are you there? Hi, Lazara.
Hi, how are you guys?
Can you hear me? Oh, we're blessed. That's Ralph on here with me up in the Branson area. I'm excited you called in. So why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself, Lazara, and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what issues were going on in your life and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen. And if you get a chance to share about your experience you actually had with Jesus holding your hand, but go right ahead.
Well, my name is Lazara, and I was actually born again 2 weeks ago in your office, Mr. Cox. Pastor Cox, it was at your office, and it was, you know, it was through one of my sisters, one of my spiritual sisters, Nancy, that I learned about.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
One of them is about the courts of heaven, and then Nancy gave me the idea of doing one about deliverance. And it was at that time that I just said, hey, I got to do this, you know, and just came to your office, met with you and Nancy, and just to do some research. And then I'm like, as you were talking about it, I was like, wait a minute. This sounds like a lot of the stuff that I'm dealing with, that I'm battling. And when you showed me the list of the different, you know, demons that could really work on us and just take over us and really mess with our lives, it just made me realize, like, hey, wait, hold on. This is me. You know? So
mm-hmm.
I immediately scheduled an appointment with you and, you know, we did it. We were supposed to do it a week ago, and things fell through. So because of my schedule, then we did it this past Monday. And let me tell you, it's a huge difference. I feel much, much. How do I want to put it? Positive. You know, I feel so much more positive than I used to. I feel lighter, like, you know, there's not all this heavy stuff on me. I think a lot more positive as to when it comes to people that irritate me or negative situations that come up. I just find myself, you know, thinking positive about how to solve them in a more positive manner instead of going off or, you know, just silently wishing them bad, you know. So it's been an amazing experience.
In your ministry, Lazara, did you feel the demons coming out or what went on that you knew they were departing?
Oh, my gosh. I have never yawned. Like, you know, when you explain that sometimes either through burping or yawning, it really, I've never yawned so big. Like, my mouth, my bones were, like, my muscle, my bones were popping, my joints were popping, and it just, you know, sometimes it's like when you yawn, and it's such a hard yawn, and it feels like air gets sucked back in, which is something I've never experienced while yawning. Usually when you yawn and you release, you know, and you feel better.
Right.
I yawned a lot, which was so weird. And then when there were some demons that were reluctant coming out, they didn't want to come out, you know, just things. And then I would yawn, and then, it, you know, my mouth kept getting wider and wider, which kind of scared me. And then all of a sudden, you just feel all the air being sucked back into you, and my mouth would just close, which was such a weird feeling. And then there was one point, I don't know if you remember this, where my mouth opened so much, and I remember looking at you, and I'm like, and I'm shaking my head like, this one ain't coming out. And you took the Bible, and you put it up against my stomach, and you started preaching, and all of a sudden, it was just a big gasp of air. It was just amazing. I felt that one. It was amazing.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, how's your jaw doing now?
Say it again.
I wondered, we thought you might have a sore jaw after all that.
No, thank God you blessed my jaw because no. No. I actually got back to where I was staying and I sat down and I didn't wake up till 6 o'clock the next morning. I was exhausted. And I usually wake up in the middle of the night, right? I slept through the whole night. It was amazing.
I figured you sleep good. Most people do. And of course, having those evil spirits gone, you know, it's the real you now. Without the blocking of those demons and trying to steal, kill, and destroy. So, have you seen some changes in your life? Other changes that come to you?
Yeah, I'm just more calmer. You know, I feel like I've met me again. You know, it's just, I feel like I'm just meeting myself all over again, you know, and I like me for a long, you know, it's been this long. It's been a long time since I liked myself this much. And I mean, it's Wednesday, it's been 3 days, you know, 2 days, but you know, when, you know, it's me, like I know myself so well. And even though it's only been 2 days, The transformation is huge, and I've noticed, and it's so, like, black and white. I notice the transformation. I know what I feel inside. And it's funny, because sometimes, like today, you know, I had a customer really, really scare the bejesus out of me, and then instead of saying sorry, you know, he looked at me and made it my fault, which was just so, you know, in the past I would have gotten aggravated and been like, hey, you need to slow down. You know, this is your fault, not mine. Or I would have said something sarcastic. And I don't know, when he said that, I was just like, you know, wait, my response was so amazing. I just looked at him and I said, are you okay? And he goes, yeah, I'm okay. And I'm like, good. I said, have a great day. And I just walked, you know, I just gave him his package and walked away. You know?
Thank God.
10 minutes later, I realized, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm not even thinking negative about it, you know? So cool. That was cool to feel, you know?
Yeah. Well, how about sharing about your situation when your dad beat you up and you had your encounter with Jesus?
Well, that one in itself was amazing. I mean, that is something, one of the many different things of where I walked with Jesus, you know. There's so many different times. But like I was telling you, you know, there are times in life when you make yourself vulnerable. When we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, and we're in need of Him, of His presence, that He does show up.
When that happens, how old were you?
I was 8 years old.
When your dad,
you know, 8 years old,
and you were, and you were on the second floor, were you?
Yeah, I was on the second floor. I don't know how old. I'm pretty sure I jumped because I know I didn't go down the steps. But still, you know, the following morning when finally, you know, like I walked all night, I remember seeing one of the owners from Gibson's because he wore this huge, huge hat. And I remember, you know, when we ended up walking, we were walking for such a long time, and then to me it was forever. And, you know, the sun going up and the lady, you know, coming outside to water her plants and, you know, and the man I was walking with told me to go across the street and get her, just go out across the street and ask for water. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, I told you what happened. Like, as soon as she noticed me, I turned. The man was no longer there. But the cool thing was, is all said and done in the hospital, they're trying to figure out who this man was, who abducted me, who took me. And then I told him about the guy from Gibson's. And then he got his videotape. They put it in. And that's when they saw me with my hand up in the air, walking as if I'm holding someone's hand. I mean, like, I'm literally holding someone's hand. There's no one in the video but me.
Yes, and you talked to
them. And
obviously it was Jesus with you.
I really feel, I mean, like, there's no ifs or buts about that it was him. And the amazing thing was that the doctors had actually told me there's no way I could have walked 15 miles because my hip was dislocated.
Yeah.
Okay. You know?
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
So that in itself was, you know.
Well, yeah, that was a great experience that you had. Now, you had a really amazing startup. You wound up coming from Cuba and on a leaking boat, weren't you? Tell that a little bit.
My favorite story ever about the big whale. When we came from Cuba, you know, I had this feeling, you know, like someone's telling me something. And then it was just keep going and keep going. And I kept bothering my mom, and I told my mom, we have to sit this way because this is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm feeling. It's not like a voice. It's just a feeling that you're getting. And I was only 5 because I turned 6 when we came to America shortly after. In the refugee camp, I turned 6. I was 5. And I just got this feeling, and it's just overpowering. It was not a voice, but it was a feeling of telling me how we should be sitting. And my mom finally gave in to me because I was nagging her so much. And so she sat me, my little sister, my brother, you know, all of us stacked, 3 of us stacked on top of her. And then she had the other 4 stack themselves on top. And then I told my brother, hold on. And I remember, I'm like, hang on tight. And my brother grabbed this rope that was tied to the boat, and he gave it to my mom, and my mom secured it around us all. And as soon as she did that, this huge tidal wave came. And it took a lot of people from the boat, you know. And some people couldn't swim. I know we didn't know how to swim. And then I guess the force of the tidal wave kind of knocked something off the boat. And we were scared. I remember my siblings being scared, and I was so terrified. And that's the one thing I forgot to tell you is, like, I was so scared when this happened. And all of a sudden, it's like, I just got this feeling of, you know, stay calm. Everything's going to be okay, you know?
And I just looked at everybody,
I was like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, you know? And there was a woman who had just as many kids as my mom did sitting across from us on this little 40-foot boat with 150 people on it. And she had stacked her kids the same way we were. And then they're like, you know, and some people had ended up dying. They made it back onto the boat, or people pulled them back onto the boat, but they ended up dying and they were being thrown over. So we were a little scared. And I dozed off, and this is probably a little while later. I had dozed off, and then my mom shook me and my siblings, and then it was so funny because I opened my eyes and there's this huge whale. Like, it was so big. It was like, you know, 100 stories high, I guess. And I was so terrified. Where the water was coming in at, it was from underneath the hatch area, which was like for a little girl. You know, I could fit in there nicely. I didn't care if water was slipping through there. I hid under there as I watched these men, like, come down and grab each of the survivors, and they would zip back up. And my mom tried to get me out, and she's trying to hold my little sisters and me and my brothers, and she's trying to tell my brother help her. And, you know, the man just kept taking one of us at a time. And then it was just, when it was my turn, my mom went for me, but they grabbed onto my mom and took her up into the, you know, and then this guy just said something to my mom, and we didn't understand what he said, but he lifted up the hatch door, he picked me up, and before I could resist, I was flying through the air. And it turns out that this big whale that I was so terrified of was a Coast Guard boat that came to rescue us.
Praise God.
So,
praise
yeah,
God.
So that was a neat experience.
Well, yeah, that was quite a startup. Coming here to America, praise God, it worked out for you. Well,
yeah, I praise God every day. You know, all the amazing experiences that we've had. You know, even our first snowfall. You know, we ran into the basement thinking the sky was falling, but it was the end of the world because, you know, we never heard of snow in our lives, and nobody told us.
Right.
You know, so finally one of the church members thought, wait a minute, do they know what snow is? Did anybody tell them what snow was? So, you know, 4.5 hours, 5 hours later, they showed up at our house, and they came down to the basement, and we had, like, mattresses and everything over us in the basement thinking the world was going to end, that the world was actually ending because it was snowing.
Well, we're about out of time. You're thinking about going through the ministry and learning how to do this, are you?
Yes, I really would love to. I mean, this is such an amazing, amazing experience. I would love to share it with others.
Praise God. Thanks so much, Lazara. That was a wonderful testimony and exciting to hear where you come from and how you are today, and now you're ready to go forward in your life unhindered by these evil spirits which were trying to block it before. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye.
Definitely. God bless. Have a great night, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us.
Definitely. Have a good one.
Well, what a good testimony, both of them.
Well, yeah, I get excited hearing those. Hallelujah. It just shows what our God is doing, what he's given us the tools to do, that's for all Christians can do this, not a gift area at all. It's normal Christianity.
That's kind of funny. I've never seen snow, never heard of snow. It just seemed so foreign to me that no one even know what snow was. what a cute story. And then the story of thinking that was a big major whale, but it was the Coast Guard. So yeah, what a
just a little girl, what a, you know. She.
Yeah, I know. It's just that's cute. Well, we do thank callers this evening. They came in and gave some great testimonies. And if you have any things in your life that are like what you heard, any problems, major trauma, trauma is a big door in lives. And with our last testimony there, she's definitely had a lot of trauma in her life. And the Lord's there. The Lord's always there. We don't always know why these things happen, but they do. But, you know, there's a testimony, even though she went through this heavy trauma, that the Lord was there the whole time. And, but, you know, many, many years later, was able to get the doors closed and the spirits that were attached to it cast out. So praise God. So if you have any questions regarding deliverance, go to deliveranceusa.com or get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Rich at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book. I believe we ask a $20 offering for it, and he'll certainly get it out to you. Well, here we are again, another testimony out of the way, another Wednesday done. Pastor, as always, it's a joy and pleasure to be here with you. Looking forward to next week, and see you then. God bless everybody, and have a good evening.
Yes, God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes.